thoughts about the matter. Later on in the message, we're going to pass the mic around, and you're going to have an opportunity to share what the coming of Jesus means to you, what you're looking forward to most when Jesus comes, and how that impacts every day of life for you. So be thinking about that as we go along here. Back in the chaotic days following the Second World War, there was a family living in New York State that thought it was time to reconnect with their family back in Hungary. So they sat down and wrote them a letter, and they said, "Dear family, we think of you and we pray for you every single day. How are you doing?" And they waited for what seemed like an eternity until finally one day they got a letter from Uncle Laszlo, who was living just outside of Budapest. And Uncle Laszlo explained to them all the difficulties, the hardships that they were having living in post-World War II Hungary. Well, the family in New York said, "We got to do something to help our family. I know, we'll send them a whole series of care packages," they said. And so into these boxes, they packed everything they could think of. There was meat and vegetables and fruit and, of course, high-quality American chocolates. They packed toilet paper and bandages, and every little corner that was open, every little space was filled in with candy and handkerchiefs and writing paper and pencils and pens. They were going to take care of their family. One by one, they shipped the boxes off, and they waited for a response. And then one day, they got the big letter from Uncle Laszlo, who was living just outside of Budapest. And he wrote, "My dearest cousins, we are in receipt of 3 packages. We are forever in your debt for these good things. You cannot know how timely was their arrival. Food is so scarce here, and Anna was sick all the time with fevers. This food has meant everything to us. I must confess that we sold some of the things you sent us on the black market in order to get money for our rent." And then he went on to explain what they had done with the various items that had been packed into the box. We also cannot ever thank you enough for the medicine you sent. It is so difficult to get any medicine at all, and often it is of poor potency and doesn't work at all. Cousin Gesher has been in continuous pain for several years, and your medicine has miraculously cured him. He was walking only with the help of a cane. His knees were so swollen. These medicines make him almost normal again. My back pain is completely gone, as are Liza Betta's headaches. America is great, and science is great. You must send more of that medicine as it is nearly used up. Again, thank you. We love you all and pray for when we might see you once again." Well, that letter drove the family in New York absolutely nuts. I mean, what was the medicine they had mailed them? They had to know what was that medicine, because they had to get some more and send it to them and help them out. They couldn't think of what it was. So they sat down and wrote another letter. "Dear Uncle Laszlo," it said, "you must tell us what the medicine is that we sent to you. We must know so we can get some more for you." They waited 2 more months, and finally they got a letter. And the letter said, "My dearest cousins, we are grateful to have heard from you again. Since the first 3 packages, another 2 have arrived, and then your letter. Again, you sent that wonderful medicine. It did not come with instructions for use, but we are guessing on the dosage. And translating from English to Hungarian is very difficult for us, since only young Sandor has studied it in school. Lucky for us, he could translate the name of the medicine. It is Lifesavers. Please send more as soon as you can. Love, Uncle Laszlo." To think that what they had stuffed into the corners and the pockets of those boxes was rolls upon rolls of Lifesaver candy. And what they had translated literally had become a great source of hope and healing to that family. Everybody needs hope. Hope is absolutely essential to our survival. You can live for several weeks without food. You can live for several days without water. You can live for several minutes without air, but you cannot live without hope. Hope is essential to every aspect of our lives. It is what gives us the strength, the courage, the assurance to keep going strong. And so I think that is why the Apostle Paul says in Titus chapter 2, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." When life is heavy, when the circumstances that we must live with are dark and overwhelming, there is a light that comes through the tunnel. It is the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you have that hope, you can keep going. So the question we're going to look at today is, what is it that we have to look forward to when Jesus comes? Four things on my list, and the first of these is, we will see Jesus' face. In the opening lines of Revelation, we read, "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him." You know, back in the days when Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden, they had face-to-face conversations with Jesus every single day. And then when they sinned, that face-to-face communion was broken. Since that day, no human being has looked on the fully glorified face of Jesus Christ. Our great longing is to once again see his face. One September morning a few years ago, a flight attendant by the name of Cece Lyles got on her flight there with United Airlines number 93 out of Newark, New Jersey. 46 minutes into the flight, four Al-Qaeda terrorists took over the plane. The whole flight was thrown into panic. People got on their phones. They called their loved ones to let them know what was going on. And what they heard from their loved ones shook them to the core, because they found out the two planes had already been hijacked and hit the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. They found out another plane had been hijacked and hit the Pentagon. Something was going on, and people were scared. Cece went to the back of the plane. She got on her cell phone, and she called her husband, Lorne, back home in Fort Myers, Florida. She said, "Baby, you must listen to me very carefully. I'm on a plane that has been hijacked. I'm trying very hard to stay calm." She was in this automatic flight attendant mode. And then in the last few moments of their time together, something cracked. Suddenly, she was once again a woman, a wife, a mother. And she said, "Oh, baby, I hope someday, I hope I will see your face again. I love you. Goodbye." You and I live on a planet that has been hijacked by the supreme Osama bin Laden. We are captives on this ship, and it's going down. And our greatest hope is to see the face of Jesus. Amen. That is why we sing face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When I in rapture shall behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face shall I behold him far beyond the starry skies. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Amen. On that glad day, we will fix our eyes on the eastern horizon. We will see that small black cloud the size of a man's hand. And as it draws nearer, it becomes larger and more glorious and white and billowing, bursting with rainbow colors. We will see shimmering angels. We will hear joyous songs as angel voices and trumpets unite in one great hallelujah chorus. And then the most important thing of all, we will see Jesus clad in a robe of purest white, feet looking like basins of molten fire. His eyes are like flashing flames of fire. In his right hand, he holds a sharp sickle. In his left hand, a silver trumpet. His hair is long and white and curly, lined upon his shoulders. On his head is a whole stack of crowns. And his face, that's the best thing of all, is his face is one big smile. This is the happiest day of all for Jesus, and he has come for us, and it will be the happiest day for us because finally we will see the face of Jesus. Amen. The second thing I have to look forward to when Jesus comes is that we will be reunited with our loved ones who have died in the faith. The Apostle Paul paints the picture in bright, bold colors. When he says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. What a glorious moment that will be. Jesus will take that silver trumpet and put it to his lips in a clarion call that rolls across the surface of the earth, over the hills and the dales. And then he will lift his hands, his eyes, and heavenward and shout, awake, awake, you that sleep in the dust, and arise, and the earth will rock and roll and convulse. It will be like the clenched-fisted demons pried open, and out will step the redeemed of all the ages. Amen. Those who went down into their graves with the marks of old age and disease and violence will come up clothed in the regalia of immortality. What an exciting moment that will be when we are reunited together, laughing, singing, shouting. We will say, victory, victory over death and the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? I so much want to see Jesus come because I, like you, have buried loved ones in the certain hope of Jesus' soon return. 12 years ago, I got one of those calls no one wants to get. Got the word that my cousin Bonnie's husband had been killed in a motorcycle accident. He was 27 years old. Left behind a young wife, a 2-year-old little boy, and get this, the very next morning, Bonnie went to the doctor's office and found out she was pregnant with baby number 2. We staggered through the funeral. We buried John on a New England hillside. And every time I'd go to the conference office for a meeting, I just about always stopped by the cemetery because it was right on the way, and there I would mourn our family loss. Time and time again, I found myself all choked up, going back to the car, and under my breath, I would be saying, Jesus, Jesus, you've got to come soon. What a day that will be when our loved ones rise again. I can't wait to see John resurrected, to meet his wife of all these years. Little Ryan, who was 2 years old, is now a teenager, and Adam, whom he has never met, looks just like his dad. What a happy day that will be for all of us when we are reunited with our loved ones who died in the faith. There's a third thing I'm looking forward to when Jesus comes. When Jesus comes, I will get my life back. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, there's so many things that just suck the life out of us these days. There's chronic fatigue and constant pain. There are things like deep, dark depression and mental illness. There are things like tuberculosis and cystic fibrosis and cerebral palsy and multiple sclerosis. There are things like old age and the wrinkles that spread themselves across our faces and the silver in our hair and the gold in our teeth. There's the bum knees and bad backs, the headaches that won't ever go away. There's the heart attacks and the strokes and the cancer, war and famine and terrorism, domestic violence and dysfunctional families and broken homes, and the list goes on and on. Life is hard. Life is not easy. And when Jesus comes, the good news is I will get my life back again. For it tells us here, we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality. Greg Fisher tells a story of the time he was teaching a college Bible class in West Africa. And in the middle of the lecture, one of his students raised his hand and he said, "Pastor, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 tells us that Jesus will come down from heaven with a shout. And what I want to know is, what will Jesus say in that shout? Tell me, what will he say?" He said, the pastor, he stood there and he's like, "What do I tell him? I have no idea." And then he began to remember how earlier in the day he had met a refugee from the civil war in Liberia. He had been taken hostage by a death squad. He'd been threatened with torture and death, but somehow he had escaped. Somehow he had reconnected with his family, and they had fled to another country, only to have to bury two of their children along the side of the road on the way. He thought of how every day he'd drive to work, and on both sides of the road, there were lined beggars upon beggars with their empty, vacant look in the eye. He thought about the challenges and the difficulties of life, and suddenly he had an answer for his student. He said, "When Jesus comes, he will shout, 'Enough!'" "Enough?" the student said. "Enough! Enough war! Enough famine! Enough sickness and death! Enough suffering and pain! Enough! And I'm looking forward to that day when enough is enough! And I get my life back." How about you? There's one more thing. One more thing I'm looking forward to when Jesus comes. And that is, we will finally go home. Our heavenly home. Apostle Paul tells us here, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." I can picture the scene. There we are standing arm in arm, our eyes locked on the face of Jesus. And our concentration will be so intense that we won't even notice someone coming up behind us. There will be an angel, our guardian angel, tapping us on the shoulder and saying, "Come on, it's time to go home." Suddenly we lift off and we go soaring through the sky. We go flying through corridors of angels on both sides of us, clapping and cheering us on. And finally, we are with Jesus. Finally, we go home with him. So let me ask you the question, what is it about heaven that will make it home for us? Well, the mansions and the gardens, they will certainly be beautiful. And what a thrill it will be to walk down those streets of gold. It will be so much fun to swim with orcas and wrestle with lions and all the great things we will do with the animals. It will be very stimulating to meet with and talk with the great heroes of the faith down through the years. It will be wonderful to be with our families once again, but the best thing of all is being with Jesus. That is what makes heaven home. That is why the Apostle Paul tells us, "And so we will be with the Lord forever." So, let's talk. Tell me, what does the coming of Jesus mean to you? Tell me, what are you looking forward to most when Jesus comes? What is it about the coming of Jesus that impacts your life in the here and now? If we've got a couple people with mics, I've got a first volunteer right up here in the front. We have a couple runners. Right here, right by you here.
There are so many times when things get hard and I get stressed and I'm ready to pull my hair out. And we all go through that. But there are times recently where I have told the Lord, if I could hug you, I would. And that's what I am looking forward to the most.
Thank you. If we keep them brief, we can pack a lot of you in. Doc, tell us, what are you looking forward to when Jesus comes?
You know, it used to bother me about we'll be all be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. And then it says it was, mortals will put on immortality. And when we put on our immortality, there's not going to be more sin or Satan or pain or trouble or sickness or pain or disease. No more crying or dying. And no more growing old and no more death. What a change that's going to be. What a wonderful thing it'll be.
And Doc, you and I will get our hair back.
Yeah.
Yeah, good deal. Okay, we have another one back here. Thank you, Doc. What does the coming of Jesus mean to you? Ilona?
Last night I was looking at a video of a mother who didn't know what to do with her child, and she was hitting it with a pillow. And then it got worse and worse till I couldn't even stand to watch it. In heaven, every child will be loved and cared for, and you can tell them to go play in the street.
Amen. That child will get its life back. We've got one right over here.
I'm looking forward to be in one whole piece without arthritis, diabetes, neuropathy. The list goes on. I just can't wait for that time.
Thank you. A couple over here on the other side. Over here. Nathan, I'm going to let you take care of this side. We'll let Dennis take care of the other side here. Valerie?
I am looking forward to sitting on a park bench in heaven and just talking to Jesus. It would be really nice to look him in the eye and just be a friend.
Thank you.
I want to just thank him and kiss his nail-scarred hand. That's what I want.
Byron?
Well, I have so many questions for Jesus. I know he answers our questions now, but I have so many deeper questions that I want him to answer. And I also want to reacquaint myself with my wife's mother. She was such a wonderful person, and she taught me so much. Yes, I want to meet all the rest of my family, but I think there's so much more that she could have taught me. And I'm just sorry that our time was cut short, and I'm very, very much looking forward to that reunion.
Thank you. Every time I tell the story of Uncle Laszlo, I think of your family and your loved ones back in Hungary. Karen. Okay, over here.
I'm so looking forward to being with Christ and really having everything and everyone be made whole, spiritually, physically, mentally, everyone to be of like mind, that they are wholeheartedly Christ's. You know, they're all there because they're His, redeemed. And I was at camp meeting, and there's people all over I didn't know. And I said, this is one year, I just said, Happy Sabbath to just all over. And these great smiles and the response, you know, of this. And I just think, this is just a little fragment of what heaven's going to be like. Everybody's just on the same page, you know. Everywhere you go, there they are. They all love Christ, and they all have Christ dwelling in them.
Thank you. Why don't you get Brian while you're there, and then we'll jump over to Karen.
I just want to stay with Jesus forever, seems like.
Thank you. Karen?
A few years ago, I had the privilege of being at camp meeting the whole time. And I also got to sing at one of the meetings in the, you know, the main tent in Pepperwood. And the thought and the vision came to my mind of so many of those people that go to Pepperwood. You know, they're very elderly people. And it's, you know, many of the retired people that are able to go and spend the time there. I mean, I see families too, but I pictured all of them as young people. Old pictures have always fascinated me, seeing pictures of my grandparents or my great-grandparents or Don's family, you know, these, you know, people when they were younger, you know. And so that's what I did, is I pictured all of these people that were out there in heaven as restored, you know, their age is restored, their youth is restored, their health is restored. And I hear in my mind, this whole audience of the congregation of elderly people restored to their youth and their health. And of course, being with Jesus, of course, is the main thing.
Thank you. Got time for a couple more. Okay, back over here.
Hi, I just want to say that what it means to me is the end of all evil and blessed righteousness to all the world. And that in itself is just such a wonderful concept. It's just more than I can think of. Thank you.
Thank you. There's some over here, back over here. Oh, boy. Keep going. Dennis?
I have to agree with everything that's been said here, but there's one thing that I think about a lot, and that is the grace of Jesus that has permeated this world since the beginning of time. Who else is going to be in heaven that we didn't expect? And I look forward to that point where you see people that you might thought in history weren't supposed to be there, you know, and who's, you know, and just see the marvel on their face when they come face to face with Jesus and realized that they were following his voice all this time. You know, I think of Nebuchadnezzar, I think of other people that we would think, oh, they may not, why should they be there? I also want to see the surprises on some of the saints' faces when they see some of the people there.
I'm looking forward to all the people I surprise when they see me show up, too. All right. Over here.
I want to sing with Jesus.
I love that idea. Going in the... Okay, go ahead.
I just want to thank Jesus for my life. I was supposed to have died in 1979. I had a boil in my nose, and I was terribly, terribly ill and in the hospital, and I heard the doctor tell my wife at that time, it isn't a matter of if he's going to die, it's a matter of when. And I was anointed, and the Lord spared my life. As soon as we had that prayer, I could feel the flame of infection leaving my face, and 2 days later, I was out of the hospital, and the doctor told me, he said, well, Harold, he says, I've seen a lot of people in your condition, but you're the first one I get to talk to afterwards, and I want to personally thank Jesus and my angel for that wonderful thing.
34 years later. Bob, and then the lady in the back.
Over the years, I have lost a lot of my friends. I've lost a lot of my family, and that right there is one thing I'm looking forward to, is putting my arms around them and saying hi and how much I love them.
Thank you. Yes.
I am looking forward to everyone being loved, no matter what, where they're from, who they are. It's just going to be a wonderful experience. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there one or two more? Rick over here, and then we're going to wrap this up. Rick, I'm glad you're here today.
The way that I look at my life, is kind of a football game. And I'm not the star player, never have been, never will be. And I kind of look at myself as a fullback. I don't run real fast, but I can block pretty well. I can catch the ball when I need to get to catch it, and I do a lot of other things. And God has me where I'm at doing what I'm doing because there's nobody else on the planet can do what I'm doing the way that I'm doing it for him. At the end of the game, there's always a celebration when you win. We know we're going to win. Let the celebration begin.
Thank you. And why not live that celebration every day today? They tell me in the state of Georgia that there is a cemetery where only African Americans can be buried. But it so happens there is one white man that is buried in that cemetery, and there's a story behind it all. You see, when this man was a little baby, his mother died, and his father was so overcome with grief, he made up his mind he would never marry again. So he hired an African-American woman by the name of Mandy to love and care for that boy. And she took him in and loved him as if he were her own. Every morning she would climb the stairs very early. She would slip into his room. She would kneel down beside his bed and whisper into his ear, "Wake up. God's morning is come." The boy grew up. He went off to college. Every time there was a vacation, he came home and slept in his bed. And every morning, very early, Mandy'd slip up the stairs and get into his room. She'd kneel down beside his bed and whisper into his ear, "Wake up. God's morning is come." The man went on to become a very successful statesman. And then one day, he received the sad news that Mandy had died. He went to the cemetery to pay his respects. And as he's wiping away the tears, he turned to his friends who were with him and he said, "If I should die before Jesus comes, I want to be buried right here next to Mandy. Because on that great getting up morning, I want Mandy to lean over and whisper in my ear, 'Wake up, my boy, God's great morning is come.'" That is our hope. That is what keeps us going. That is what brings meaning and purpose to our lives. The coming of Jesus. I can't wait. How about you? I cannot wait. What a glad, glad day that will be.
There is coming a day when no heartaches shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eyes. All is peace forevermore. Day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no sickness or pain. No more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be. when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through his promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that would be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day, glorious day.
Oh God, how we look forward to that day. How we yearn for that day when we see Jesus' face. When we are reunited with our loved ones who have died in the faith. When we get our life back again. When we go home with you finally at last. Lord, I pray that the coming of Jesus will not just be some event off in the future, but it is a very much a reality in our lives right here, right now, every single day of life. May that promise impact us and keep our hearts filled with hope. May it drive the quality of life and witness that we share with others. And yes, Lord, we do want to see you come. Soon, very soon. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.